This Sunday, in honor of Labor Day, a commemoration ceremony will take place at the Lafayette Cemetery, honoring striking miners who were shot and killed by state militia in 1927. KGNU's Maeve Conran spoke with Nicholas Bernhardt, a local historian who has written a children's book about the events.
So after the strike of 1914 and the massacre that happened at Ludlow, there had been some very small gains for miners. They had gotten some pay increases, but in the years following that, it largely went back to how things were normally, and they were still working in very unsafe conditions. A big part of that was that they were not paid for the work to make the conditions safe, like putting up support beams. In 1917, there had been a terrible explosion at the Hastings mine in Colorado, where 121 men were killed in a single explosion. And they were still being paid in scrip in many places, not being paid with real money. It was a voucher that could only be used at a store owned by the mine itself. So in 1927, they went on strike again. It was a different union than the 1914 strike. It was the Industrial Workers of the World, which was a socialist organization that really had a better sense of how to organize people, how to mobilize, made use of the automobile, which had become a lot cheaper then. And they had a strict nonviolence policy. They would check their own members for weapons before letting them to the picket line, because they didn't want to give the mine owners any excuse to claim that, well, it was self-defense. And so those were, so the scrip was one big reason they went on strike, and the really inhumane working conditions that they worked under, that was another big one. They had gone on strike. It was very successful. In about a month, they had 12,000 miners on strike around the state. And only one mine was left open, and that was the Columbine Mine in Erie. Initially, the gates to the mine were open, and picketers could go right up to the gate. But 3 days before Thanksgiving in 1927, the picketers arrived at the gate to find it locked. This was a very provocative move by the state militia who was guarding the mine, because many of the miners had families who lived inside the mine's fence. A labor leader named Adam Bell came forward and asked them to open the gate, partly because the mine had its own post office and school, and legally you couldn't close access to those. He was attacked. Miners started climbing the fences. A famous story is that they were beating this labor leader, Adam Bell, with sticks, and a lady named Elizabeth Veronick covered his body with the American flag, hoping that they wouldn't kick someone who was covered by the flag, but they ended up attacking her as well. Eventually, the gate was toppled over, and six miners were shot down by the state militia, which was very unusual because it seems that the militia had been preparing for a big confrontation. It had almost been hoping the miners would come with weapons. There had been a machine gun seen by many eyewitnesses at the top of the mine's tipple. It seems they were preparing for a fight and had been hoping to, you know, be able to say, well, they came with weapons and we were justified in retaliating, but they weren't. Of the 500 people that arrived there, none were shown to have any weapons at all.
What is the relevance now to present day East Boulder County? Because this, I know 30 years ago there was a commemoration along these lines, but we're not seeing annual commemorations of this. I mean, how much is this known and how much is this acknowledged and celebrated locally as part of our history?
I'm very surprised at how little it's recognized. From what I've seen in the late 1980s, there was a real resurgence of interest in promoting awareness of the strike, but in the years since then, there hasn't been so much. For the most part, focus on the labor conflicts tends to focus on Ludlow, but I think it's important for people to realize that there was a lot of labor unrest that happened in Boulder County as well, and that coal mining was a big part of our local history. I think it's important for people to know that, one, because it's important to know that the freedoms that we enjoy as workers in America were not gifts from employers. They were very hard won. It was a lot of struggle and some bloodshed to achieve our rights as workers, and we still have to fight for those today. The other part is I think it does give context to the current debate about natural gas in the state. I think it's important for people to know that there has been a lot of natural resource exploitation that's happened in this area since it was settled.
There still is concern over the extraction of some of these fossil fuels in that area as well, if we bring it right back up to the present day. So this event will be happening at the Lafayette Cemetery on Sunday, September 1st.
Yes.
Who do you hope will come along? I mean, who do you think needs to really step into the space and start remembering this history?
I hope that young people can come and to find that there is a rich history, and that there are people in the area that has stood up for the freedoms of Americans, that it wasn't something that just happened on foreign soil during wars, but it happened in our own backyard. One thing that I often talk about is that I think of my great-grandfather having lunch on a street corner in Lafayette every time I drive into town. And so if people, when they're going to work or going to school, can look around and say, oh, that's where this event happened, or here's I remember the people who built that place. I think that adds to your sense of heritage and your sense of who you are in your community.
Nicholas Bernhardt speaking with Maeve Conran. The commemoration ceremony honoring the striking miners killed in 1927 takes place this Sunday, September 1st, at the Lafayette Cemetery. The ceremony will take place from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. Afterwards, there will be a reception at East Simpson Coffee Company. That's at 411 East Simpson Street in Lafayette.